Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
Welcome to the BitByte Podcast. This is Hans.
And this is Rick.
And prices are down.
I think you're going to be known as the optimist from here on out, Hans.
Well, and I mean, I guess I'm always a permabull, right? I mean, there's no way that I couldn't have been a permabull holding on through basically $20,000 to all the way down to $3,000 and never giving up on it, right?
And then it paid off, so.
And it did. I mean, even at this point still, I'm not really hurting by any means, but
no,
it still sucks. I mean, because this was supposed to be, you know, we were supposed to be going into fourth quarter. And basically, I mean, all the predictions, Plan B had said that we were going to hit, I think, 98,000 by the end of November. And then he was expecting the floor model was going to show that we were going to hit 130,000 by the end of December. And that just seems further and further away.
Yeah, I was going to say we might be half that by the time December ends.
So, and I guess that brings up like a couple of questions. Number one, you know, and I think the reason why they think, you know, they had those high pie in the sky kind of price action theories is because normally during the halving and the bull cycle that typically takes place, this is usually when we get our blow off tops is this time. You know, the fourth quarter of the year after the halving or whatever. And now, you know, they're starting to wonder, well, it takes more money to be able to pump the market. Is this, you know, is the cycle going to extend or are we entering the bear market now? Or, you know, where's this going? Are we done? Like, is this it? Is it going to drop back down and then we're going to have to wait three more years before it pumps again? What are your thoughts on that?
I have no idea. I mean, for me, it just seems to come out of left field. I just didn't see this coming. But, you know, we've been through a lot worse. And Ethereum's, you know, still pretty close to its all-time high. It's not seeing this. So, I mean, I don't know what the heck is going on. I mean.
And that's something that's kind of weird, too, because normally whenever we see, like, and not even that it was that bad of a drop. Not that it was that bad of a drop. I mean, we've seen much worse in the crypto space, even within this past year. We've seen much worse type of drops. But with most of the time when those drops occur, when Bitcoin catches a cold, like I said, everything else drops. Everything else drops with it, you know? And we're not seeing that with Ether. So I don't know if that's price suppression going on. I don't know if it's just the market. Maybe it's because everybody was betting that it was going to go long, so they decided to leverage out all those shorts or those longs with the shorts. That's always the tough thing to say. You always want to go with against what the market wants to do, right? Especially if you're a big time trader.
Absolutely.
And when the sentiment was everybody was like, oh, it's going to go parabolic, then of course it wasn't going to. So, yeah, and then, but now it's like everybody's going to be like, oh, it's going to go down. So is it going to reverse? It's so hard. I mean, it's an emotional game for sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably the most fickle asset, or I don't know even what you would classify this. It's just the most fickle investment that you can put in. I mean, long term, it's just a hockey stick going straight up long term. But when you zoom out, but when you zoom in, man, there's peaks and valleys all over the damn place.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Sawtooth doesn't even begin to describe it. So, I mean, I think it's just one of those things. And, you know, that's part of the deal. I mean, if you're able to time some of these dips, I mean, you'd make a fortune. Granted, if you mistime these dips, you're going to lose your shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's always the difficult part of it. I mean, I have very rarely tried to trade Bitcoin. I think I've told you about that before. And I mean, maybe if it was my full-time job where I could watch the market nonstop, but I remember back in, you know, 17, you know, watching that rise and I tried to sell some and then I waited for to buy back in. You know, I was like, okay, so, you know, I sold. It dropped by like $2,000 or $3,000 at the time, and I was like, oh yeah, I did pretty good. And then I'm like, is it bottom? Do I buy back in? And then it's like it was fluctuating so fast. I was like, and it probably wasn't even $2,000 or $3,000, especially back then. It was probably like $800 or $900. And it was nerve wracking to wait to try and figure out when to buy back in. And eventually I just bought back in because I was just like, I'm sick of waiting. I couldn't do it. I couldn't handle. Maybe if it was my full-time job, I couldn't handle just waiting for it to come back and just watching and trying to do my regular day-to-day tasks, because my whole focus was on it at that point.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing with trading crypto, though, is the markets are never completely shut down.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, trading the NASDAQ or whatever. Yeah, I mean, this is 24/7 all the time. Mm-hmm. And you were probably, I remember back then you would like actually look at the price like at midnight or something.
Yeah.
And have a heart attack or
delayed
it or whatever.
I was calling up one of our friends. I was calling him up like, because that was during the block size war basically for Bitcoin. And I remember calling him up being like, sell it all, get rid of it, move it all into Bitcoin Cash. I didn't understand a lot of the tokenomics behind Bitcoin at the time. I didn't understand the need for having the smaller block size, and why that's essential really to the decentralization of it. But to me, I was just like, I mean, it was, that was a nerve wracking time, man, for sure. But so, and then, you know, and so we've got a couple questions then. We've got to look at that and say, okay, so is this just a lengthening cycle? And we're probably going to resume in Q1 of 2022, because I don't think I mean it's possible we may pump a little bit more in December, but I don't think we're going to get back. We're not going to hit $100,000 before the end of this year. Not happening.
Agreed.
So lengthening cycle, is that going to happen? Also, the other question then is Ethereum, is that going to flip Bitcoin? I mean, is that what we're seeing right now? Is kind of that setup for that, with, you know, Ethereum not being affected by the price nearly as much as what it should, or at least historically what has happened whenever Bitcoin drops like this? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. The one thing I will tell you though is if you would have bought, let's say you bought a Bitcoin in, you know, January 1st, 2021, and you bought, you know, put the same amount of money into Ethereum, you probably would have made more money on Ethereum.
Yeah.
Am I correct on that?
I think so. I want to say, because Ethereum's probably gained a lot more this year than what. So, I mean, if we look at a year right now, Bitcoin's up 168% for the year. Whereas Ethereum, let me see here. Ethereum's up 666% for the year.
Holy crap. I knew it was up higher, but 668% or?
Yeah, 666. So it's like the devil's 66. Percentage.
So it's 666. Like 168 versus.
Yeah, but I mean, so if you chase that dragon, I mean, if you look at something like Shiba Inu, right? You know what its percentage gain is for the year?
Oh, it's probably, what is it?
It's 63.9 million percent.
I was going to say it's almost like Venezuela's inflation rate.
Yeah, I mean, so.
But it might actually be higher.
That's, I mean, if you want to play that game, yeah. I mean, if you would have put any money that, if you, instead of buying a whole coin of Bitcoin, you put it all into Shiba. You know, the fucking meme coin. I mean, you would have made a killing. You'd definitely be retired by now.
Yeah.
With a 63 million percent increase. It's like, but how do you, you can't think that way. You can't double guess yourself, right?
Yep. I agree. And that's the thing though, with how much staying power does Shiba have?
Nothing.
I mean, time will tell, but it's probably nothing. I mean, there was a moment there when, you know, everyone was going crazy for Dogecoin and what's that group on Reddit called?
Oh, the Wall Street Bets.
Yes, Wall Street Bets. And then, you know, they were doing GameStop earlier this year, too, where you could have made a fortune.
Yep.
But now GameStop's losing their butts. You know, Dogecoin millionaire is basically, I mean, he's doing all right still, but he's not a millionaire anymore.
No, and he refused to sell it. It was just like, oh, my God, you idiot. Like, I mean, believe me, I've ever made that much money off crypto. You know, I even lost all mine. If the the CIA or IRS is listening. I lost it all. Boating accident. Tragic. But
very sad.
It's one of those things where it's like you can't think that way about, you know, the thing with Bitcoin is that every day and almost and maybe not every day, but every week there's news of some sort of adoption, something on a greater scale that's taking place. And that's always where I get, you know, I'm like, man, this doesn't feel right. And I know I can't sit here and tell you, oh, well, it's manipulation. I can't say it's manipulation only when it goes down, because it can be manipulation then and when it goes up too. But when you get, like, Australia is about to introduce some laws that are going to allow them to regulate Bitcoin basically and just make it legal tender, just like El Salvador did.
Yeah.
Not that Australia is like, you know, Freedom Central right now with all the bullshit going on, but
with whatever COVID camps.
Yeah. But I mean, when you see stuff like that and you see all these cases where the adoption is happening and it's happening at a faster and faster rate, I'm still just waiting for that supply choke. And I mean, they keep on saying that the exchanges have got the least amount of Bitcoin on them that they've had in years. And the other thing too, is that our hash rate has crossed the all-time high again after the China ban, right? Price always follows that hash rate.
Yep. No, I didn't even know that the hash rate had gone up that much.
Yeah. Let me see if I can pull up a chart on that real quick. So right now it says it's 120 million terahashes. So December 8th, Bitcoin hash rate almost fully recovered, closes in on all-time high. Let's see if we have a chart here. So there was a 93% drop after the China ban in the hash rate. And the hash rate at that time was 180 exahashes. I think that's what it is. I'm not sure. Currently we're at 172% or 172 exahashes. So we're only
getting close.
Yeah. We're 8 exahashes away. Bitcoin, wow. BitInfo charts, which measure the average hash rate, is actually, they're currently measuring it at 179 exahashes. So it's almost exactly where it was right before the China ban took place. So, I mean, and that's the thing, right? Like that's a beautiful thing to see, is that's resiliency within the market. I don't know. Go ahead.
No, that is pretty impressive. 'Cause how long ago was it when China did ban the, mining?
The funny thing too is that when we talk about that, we look at that, it looks like the bottom was a little bit after, it was maybe June, looking at the chart. I mean, I can't get super zoomed in on this chart, but it looks like maybe it was the end of June or beginning of June, whenever it hit the bottom, like it was announced and then it just started falling, because it looks like it was announced in May. But the other thing that was happening at that time, you know, whenever this drop happened, we had Doge was like one of the number one coins at the time. And maybe that's just one of those signs of that overheating that takes place, right? Where you had Doge around April, and that's when we went into the drop, you know, because Doge made its way into the top 10, knocked out all kinds of coins that had been there for a long, long time. As this hash rate increased, which is kind of an interesting way to look at it, as the hash rate increased and the price started to come back up, then you had SHIB enter the charts and get into the top 10 and make all kinds of money and cause all kinds of waves. And then it dropped along with the market again, right? And now both Doge and SHIB are both out of the top 10. So I don't know if it's just kind of a way of clearing out the trash before it can go back up again. I don't know.
That's an interesting thought. well, and one of the things, though, too, with SHIB was Shiba Inu, was they... Didn't one of the guys, like, he bought a huge amount and then he sold a huge amount when it peaked, and he basically crushed the price from his sale?
Well, and there was a few things that happened that were weird in the beginning of SHIB, because SHIB is basically, if Dogecoin is basically a ripoff of the Bitcoin protocol, right? Just with a crazy amount of inflation that happens because of the way they mint coins. SHIB is kind of a ripoff of Ethereum. In that same sense, where it's a smart contract-driven software or protocol. And I think they gave a bunch to Vitalik Buterin, and he took it and immediately put it in some sort of weird account that basically locked it off. So he essentially burned a huge portion of SHIB.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, SHIB is measured in, I think it's like trillions of dollars or trillions of coins within its tokenomics. What is the circulating supply? Let me see. Give me one moment here. 549 trillion SHIB.
In circulation.
Yep. That's the circulating supply.
Holy crap.
And I guess, and it used to be more. I want to say it was quadrillion. I think they've reduced it by half by now. Or close to half. But it's like, it's so ridiculous. So, I mean, and that's, and that's one of the funny things. I mean, whenever you look at the TikTok streamers and stuff like that, they're talking about, oh, SHIB's going to go to a dollar. It's like, do you know how much money that would take for your market cap to hit what you want to hit for a dollar?
No, that's insane. I mean, if it's already at that high levels, I mean, it makes the Fed's inflationary policy look ridiculously weak.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's... Yeah. You nailed it on the head. It does make it look weak. I don't know. I'm curious. I don't know if we're going to see an I don't know if it'll be an extending cycle, like if we are going to go into Q1 of 2022, or if we've already peaked, if 69,000 was the top. We didn't see the blow-off top. We didn't see the exuberance, if that's the case, that we saw in 2017 going into 2018. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yep. Well, you know, with that said, I mean, our predictions, you know, last at the end of November, we were saying that, you know, it was going to be going up somewhat. And I said, what did I say? 70, maybe?
I think so.
What did you say the end of the month price was going to be
For this month?
Yeah.
Well, I went from which prediction are we talking about?
End of your prediction.
Oh, for this year?
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a chance that we could rally back up. I mean, if we do, I mean, maybe 70. 70 would probably be the peak for the year if we can pull that off.
Yeah. No, actually, if it hits 70, I'll be happy. Realistically, I'm thinking 60 to 65.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, I mean, we got to get back above 53 first before I still feel somewhat comfortable at all before I'd be like, yep, we're going in the right direction again.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, I think there's a pretty high chance that it does close under 60 for the year.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And then if anything's going to happen, it's going to have to happen within the first, basically within that first quarter, because after that, usually you get a lot of sell-off around tax season.
Yep.
People got to pay the tax, man. So.
I know. Well, that's the thing, too. It's with the inflationary stuff that we're looking at from the Fed. I mean, at what point does the wheels on the economy come off and everything just grinds to a halt?
And well, and that's the thing. I mean, if Bitcoin really did take off to 100K this year, the way that we kind of thought, with all this news and information coming out about, you know, the inflation rate, I mean, I think we would have gone parabolic really quick, because I mean, everybody's just like, oh, this is not good. So I don't know. That's where I go back with the suppression thing. I think it could be on purpose, but
I agree. It's just hard to say. And you know, if the economy does get rough though too, I mean, there's a good chance that Bitcoin would really take a beating, at least at first, while a lot of people are trying to cover their positions.
Oh yeah. No, for sure. Especially whenever you're looking at especially the thing with you know, the financial markets coming in, like with Wall Street basically joining the, you know, everything, is that for them, it's all about their profits.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to try and cover their losses, whatever they can do. If they've got to sell Bitcoin to do it, they'll do it.
Yep. So, I think if something does so go sideways with the economy, I think Bitcoin is going to actually go on sale again before it takes off.
Yeah. Well, so. And regardless, I still think we're going to get another cycle. I don't think this is the end of the cycles. Like, I don't think that's done. I think we'll still get my opinion, I don't think we peaked yet. I just don't know when that peak is going to happen yet. And then I do think we will see a sell-off again, but I think our bottom now is going to be around, you know, the 35 to maybe 40,000 range. I don't think we'll go back sub 20 ever again.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't think we'd ever hit sub 30, and it barely hit there once. But yeah, I don't even think we're going to get that low.
Yeah. That would be pretty major at that point. I mean, and that would cause so much fear. But at the same time, then you'd get those people that would be like, I can't believe you were able to buy Bitcoin at $30,000. You know, just like it right now. I mean, you got people that are like, I can't believe you could buy Bitcoin at $3,000.
Yeah.
You know, during the cycle in 2017, I couldn't believe you could buy Bitcoin at $500. Before that, you could buy it for less than a penny, you know, or a penny right around there. So still the hottest performing asset out there.
Absolutely.
But anyways, what's your prediction for this next week? What do you think is going to happen? Where do you think we're going to be when we record again?
Man, you're putting me on the spot. I need to actually start studying the charts pretty hard and all that stuff, but it's so wild. I'm going to say it's going to be at 55 next week.
You're pretty close where I was at. I was going to say 57. I think we'll be eking our way back up, but we'll see what happens. I mean, if we hit our head a bunch of times on the $51,000 mark, we could be here for a little while. I hope not, but
I hope not. That's true. That could be the new level, the new support level, right?
Mm-hmm. But anyways, do you have anything else you wanted to add tonight?
I think I'm done.
Thank you guys for joining. Thank you for all the support. You can email us at contact@thebitpipepodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. And then, of course, we do have the Bitcoin Machine video up on the YouTubes. And we're still trying to flesh out some more other social media stuff. So, yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
Take it easy.
Bye.